mute everybody here. Praise the Lord. I love that that song. It's so appropriate for the whole idea of needing a miracle worker during this time and light in the darkness. Amen.
Amen.
We have another person coming on.
I see. It looks
Cameron and Joseph.
They're connecting. Are they connecting to audio? Are they going to be
able to? Yes, they're connecting to audio.
Praise the Lord. Well,
yeah, I sent them the link invitation last night.
Awesome. Hey, guys. Welcome. I don't see you.
Welcome.
Can you hear us?
Hey.
Oh, you guys are doing audio only. Awesome. Praise the Lord.
Oh, I was hoping to see Kezi.
Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and start our...
here
we are. Hi.
There she is.
Hi, Cameron.
Hi.
Hi, Cameron.
How are you guys?
Love you.
Love you, too. I couldn't get the audio to work.
Oh, it's working. Can you hear us?
Yes.
Yeah, we can hear you. Hey, Joseph. Okay.
Oh, Joseph's outside mowing the grass.
Oh, okay.
Tell him, get himself in there so we can see him.
Okay.
Hi, Malachi.
So we're going to start with some prayer. And there's a few things that I put on here. This may not be all of them. But before I bring up this screen, let me we have... Pray for all those who are infected with the virus and their families. I want to pray for healthcare workers and individuals on the front lines again. Pray for our government leadership for wisdom and safety, and that the will of the Lord will be accomplished in this crisis. So, who would like to pray? Who'd be willing to pray for the virus infected individuals with virus and their families? Anyone? Vicky, okay. And who would, the other one is the healthcare workers. Anyone like to pray for the healthcare workers? No, we'll take the healthcare workers. Does anyone want to pray for our government leaders and wisdom and safety for them? Because several of them are infected now, so. Anyone?
Okay, I will.
Who?
Okay, I will.
Okay, Cameron, thank you. And then the final one is a prayer for the Lord's will in this crisis. We all have things that we desire, but God has a perfect plan and desire for this. Anyone want to pray for that? Hey, I'm going to assign it here.
I'll pray for the healthcare workers too.
Oh, you'll pray for the healthcare workers too. Okay.
Yeah.
We'll pray. We'll pray for the will of the Lord then. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and we'll share the screen so that you guys can see what we're going to pray for. And if anyone wants to just pray after someone prays, you know, no worries. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Are those who are infected with the virus?
Okay, Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you gathered in this mighty, powerful way, Lord, and we come gathered and we pray, lifting the families and the victims of this virus.
Yes,
Lord, with those who are infected, Lord, we pray that you will bring peace to their bodies. Lord, send your angels to comfort them and sing over them, Lord. Yes. Protect their families and those that are taking care of them, so that way they can continue to care for them until they get through it. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just pray and ask, Lord, for your mercy and for your grace in this situation. Yes. Lord, shine your light upon all of it. Let us to see where we are to go and what is to be done in this situation, Lord, for those that are taking care of them and for those that are sick. We just thank you for this, Lord.
Yes, thank you, Lord. Healthcare workers.
Lord, I just lift up all of the healthcare workers and all the essential business workers who are on the front lines during this outbreak, Lord, that you would just keep them safe, Father, and with the supplies that they need to stay safe,
yes,
Lord God, that you would give them peace of mind and hope while I know that they're probably scared. So a fine line between being super grateful that you're still able to work and then being really scared to continue going to work because you're exposed to all of this. And so, Father, I just pray that you would keep your hand of protection on them and place your warring angels all around them, especially those who are in the hospital taking care of the infected, and that you would just lift them up and give them your wisdom and your tender hands to take care of those. And yeah.
Amen.
And then
Amen.
I also pray for the government leadership, God, or all those that are in charge of making decisions for our country right now and for protecting us, Lord, that you would help them to make those wise decisions and that it would be your decisions that you are imposing on them, that they're really coming from you, Lord,
yes.
And that when they speak, it's your words, and when they move, it's your will, Lord, that everything that they do is going to be what's best for the people in this time, Lord, and we just thank you that you are doing that, mm-hmm. and that you are the ultimate authority over all of this, Lord,
Amen.
That Amen. We can be sure of that in these unsure times, that we can always rely and count on you no matter what.
Amen.
Pastor Mike,
uh-huh.
I'd like to also pray for the families that are affected income-wise, for those who cannot work,
Amen.
And for the businesses that have to close, Lord, that you
yes.
will just
yes.
provide for them every single need, and that you will provide for them every single day, Lord. We know that you will do it, Lord, but we pray that they will know that you will do it, and they will walk in that faith, and that they will see that provision happening for them in so many ways, Lord, that they will get through this, Lord, and that they are not sunk, Heavenly Father, but that you are their anchor holding them above.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. And Father, we pray right now, as we come, Lord, together, Lord, we knit our hearts, Lord, and we know the power of agreement, Lord, that one puts a thousand to flight and 2 10,000, Lord. And Lord, we just pray right now, Lord, for you and your mighty hand to work, Lord, as you desire and will for our nation and for our world. Lord, we know that you have a divine plan, that you have a timeline, you have a purpose. And Lord, so we pray that however and whichever way you want this virus to be part of that plan, even though the enemy has meant it for evil, Lord, we pray that you would make it turn to our good, Lord, especially to those who love you and are called according to your purpose. And those that don't know that yet, Lord, make this plan work for that, Lord. Those who are in desperate need right now, Lord, of healing, Lord, to be touched, Lord, with a deliverance from this plague. And for those, Lord, family members who are watching loved ones, Lord, wither away, Lord, we pray that you would allow them to call out to you and cry out to you, Lord, and
yes,
find a place of refuge, Lord,
yes.
find a place, Lord, where they can find the name of the Lord, and that you would be, Lord, that uplifting that they need right now, Lord, that you would hold their hearts, Lord, and comfort them. Thank you, Lord.
Father, I want to speak to the spirit of fear, that it has no place within our hearts, God, and that you would replace it with faith, God.
Mm-hmm.
Faith that you're in control. Faith that you have all the power that's needed, God, to take care of this. And Father, I speak to the panic and pray that you would replace it with peace, God. Father, that the peace of God would pass our understanding, that we
Amen.
Won't get it, but we will know where it came from. And Father, I just want to pray over all of our brothers and sisters that are listening right now, God. Father, that your heart would be in their heart, God, that if there's any callousness or any hardness, God, you would replace it with a heart of pure joy and love and peace, and Father, that it, you would turn their heart from stone to flesh, Father, because that's what you look at. You look at the heart of man, and Father, that's the part that we want you to have free access to, Lord.
Yes.
So, Father, we just commit this day to you, Lord. We pray for joy in the midst of this jungle, God.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Does anyone else have anything they want to add in prayer? Okay. I'm going to go ahead and just while we're sharing, I think it sounds pretty quiet. I think I'll go ahead and leave it. You guys can unmute yourself. I'll go ahead and mute everyone. And then if you want to share something, just go ahead and unmute yourself. Yeah, and go ahead and share. Okay. Praise the Lord. So we have been talking.
Everybody can hear us.
Oh, yeah. Okay, hang on. Okay, it wants to find out something. Can everybody hear us okay? Anybody have any problems? You all hear okay? Good.
Doing good.
All right. Excellent. Okay. Back to sharing. So we have been started a series on the love of God, or this love, as it's described in some translation, this love. And so 1 Corinthians 13 is known as the love chapter. It's known as a verse that's used in a book that a lot of times it's used at weddings just because of its love nature. But to really get the idea of what Paul was talking about with love, it would be good if we could go back and look at the very end of chapter 12.
Go in the laundry room.
Hang on just a second. And so we have 1 Corinthians 12:31. Go ahead and read it, hon.
But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way.
So here we have a communication coming from the idea of there's gifts, and those gifts are to be desired, but the gifts themselves really carry no weight or carry no long-term benefit for us, because they can be overshadowed by not having love in our hearts. And so if we start reading in 1 Corinthians 13:1-3, go ahead, honey.
If I speak in tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I'm nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing.
So it's so challenging to me to think of all these amazing gifts, all mysteries, all knowledge, able to speak with the tongue of even men and of angels, and even deliver my body up as a martyr to be burned. But if you don't have love, if you don't have that idea of agape in you and part of the center of who you are, you gain nothing. You are nothing. There is no benefit to it. And so you profit nothing, is what one says. And so if we look at this idea of love, how do you get this love? What is the source of this love? It sounds so necessary for us. Is it something that we just look at and we read the attributes and say, okay, I'm just going to mimic this or imitate this, and this way I'll be living in love? No, it's something that's deep inside of us. And so hopefully I'll be able to prove today that we all have the love that we need. that nobody in this group is lacking this love that's being spoken about here. And so how do we get to this level? Let's finish this part through 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8, and then we'll go ahead. This is the description that is used by Paul to describe love. So go ahead.
Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous. It does not brag, and it is not proud. Love is not rude. It is not selfish, and it cannot be made angry easily. Love does not remember wrong things done against it. Love is never happy when others do wrong, but it is always happy with the truth. Love never gives up on people. It never stops trusting. It never loses hope and never quits. Love will never end.
Wow. I'm going to go ahead and stop this for a second. I mean, that's a major list. Love is patient. It's kind. It's not rude. It's not proud. It's not rejoicing with other people's or being happy in other people's sorrows and pains. It's something that is life-giving. Mm-hmm. instead of tearing down, it builds up. And so this love that we're talking about is God himself. Mm-hmm. It's this love that is in us is God, and God is love. So we have love. We have all the love we'll ever need, just as we have all of the peace we'll ever need inside of us. We'll have all the joy that we ever need inside us. We'll have all the patience we ever need is already there inside of us. It resides because God resides in us. Any agreements, disagreements? Nobody's disagreeing. Good. Go ahead.
I remember the first time that I heard love explained as agape love. And it was amazing to me because I was an older teenager, like 17 or so, and I was in this room filled with people. I don't even remember where it was. I know that it was not my church, but I remember a room full of people, and it felt like a kumbaya moment. Like when they were describing this agape love, it felt like everybody was unified. Everybody was together in the room, but it wasn't that they were just together physically. It was like they were together emotionally. They were together spiritually. They were together and it really was a beautiful, beautiful moment. And that was the very first time I ever heard the word agape, heard love is agape. That's what it says. And I'm just like, I have never forgotten that time or that feeling, because it felt like God was saying, anything else, fake. It's fake. Anything else besides what you're feeling right now, it's not real. Anything else that you're expecting is just a pipe dream. Anything, this love, this unifying Christian unconditional love, no matter what your points of view are, no matter what you say, no matter who you are, whether you're the king of the world or you are a pauper, it doesn't matter. This is what agape is all about. It's a unifying love of hearts joined together, and it's loving unconditionally. And I'm so thankful for getting to feel that, because I require it. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that makes any sense whatsoever, but whenever people say, you know, let's really press into the love of God, I don't want it to be anything less than what I felt at that moment as a young teenager. I didn't have a spouse. I didn't have a boyfriend. I didn't have, you know, I was estranged from my family. I was alone in the room with all these people. I wasn't with anybody else. But it was amazing, and I could tell that I didn't want anything else. That's what I wanted. That's what I needed to get to. So anytime I ever I mean, I know I'm not the only one that's tried to manufacture it. Has anybody else tried? Like, I've tried to manufacture that love. It's impossible. It has to come from God. No other thing will satisfy our hearts. No other thing will minister to us deeper than that kind of love straight from the Father's heart.
And it's not something that you have to wait for just a moment, because it's always there.
It's in you.
It's up to us of how much we want to surrender to that love in our hearts. And so that means that sometimes we have to set our mind on His love. And I believe it starts with us setting our mind on His love for us. If you read through the Old Testament, you don't hardly find, I mean, there's little ones. I went through all the scriptures about God loving, and there are a few, but it's the New Testament that this revelation that He is a lover and that He loves mankind and that, you know, all the things that He's done through the ages have been for our benefit and have been because we have been on His heart and loved by Him. And that, again, that was one of the things that the Pharisees dealt with. They said, oh, you know, God's a tyrant. He's not a lover. You know, you're talking about this Father that, you know, that's always taking care of us and always, you know, no, we got to fend for ourselves and we got to figure this out on our own. And Jesus says, no, I mean, all you have to do is seek Him and His kingdom mm-hmm. and His righteousness, and you don't need to worry about anything else. And it was so contrary to what the religious leaders of that day had to focus on.
Right. And it's not coincidental either that agape love wasn't talked but just a couple times in the Old Testament, and then in the New Testament it comes up because Jesus
is the exact demonstration of the heart of the Father and His love for us. Okay, let's get back to
Pastor Mike. I have
unless
a question.
Somebody has something, go ahead.
There's part of that scripture said that it does not give up on people,
mm-hmm.
and so we've all had those people in our lives that we've just had to step back from because there was too much to deal with them, you know. And so do you believe that there's a difference between handing them over to God, like God talked about with Paul and the guy in the church that was sinning, like saying, God, I have to step back and I give them to You, as opposed, and then you remove yourself from their environment?
Well,
I think there's
principles. And we talked about this before. There's principles of forgiveness, and forgiveness is an attribute of love. It's the heart of what God communicated in the work of the cross, that forgiveness was the work of the cross, that in mm-hmm. us believing in Christ, we're forgiven of all of our trespasses, all of our things that we had done that were an offense to God. And so that attribute of forgiveness does go along with love. But I think love, when it's fully operating, will not count that wrong suffered against it. Now, it doesn't mean that as humans, we're still not going to deal with those emotions. But when we operate out of full love, then I believe that we don't look at the wrong suffered. We don't count the offense. We don't look at the condition of the individual. We look at how God sees them, and we look at how God loves them, and so then we can enter into love. It's not easy to do. It goes against all of our human attributes mm-hmm. and tendencies.
It's contrary
because as humans, as fallen individuals, we are very self-centered. We are very egocentric. It's about us, you know, and it's about our survival, and it's about our benefit, and it's about our prosperity, and that ends up becoming, for lack of a better term, a short circuit to God's love operating in us. And so this isn't something we can do from our own humanity. You know, I know that they say, you know, in some of the songs, what the world needs now is love, sweet love. And yeah, I mean, that's a truth, but they don't need the world's love. They don't need the love that is based on, you know, this is the moral thing to do, or the compassionate thing to do, or the non, what's the word that every, the politically correct way of loving people, where you don't challenge them. You don't, God's love challenges us. God's love corrects us. God's love chastises us. It's very, it's very clear in Hebrews that that's the truth. So love doesn't mean that we just get a ticket to go do our own thing. Love doesn't mean that we get to, run rampant through this life and just create all kind of havoc. When we're his, he's going to, chastise us. He's going to bring correction. So does that answer your question? Kind of. Okay. So yeah, that's a deep question, but the basis of the answer is that in God, you can fulfill the full law of love, but you can't do it on your own.
That's yes. Yeah. But even though I'm fulfilling the full law of love, sometimes love means that I have to step back away from that.
That would
and
mean,
let
that
God would, have them.
That would
is
be
what I'm saying.
That would be in our own heart, that how would we respond to that? And I think it's per individual basis.
Yeah.
So let's go ahead and keep going here. Okay, so looking at love, what is love? And Gay said it there, it's agape. And it's a noun. And it has the meaning of brotherly love, affection, goodwill, love, benevolence. It can be love feasts. The Strong says love, affection, or benevolence, specifically for a love feast or charity, a dearness or love. And all of those things can be described, I believe, in human logic and thinking to the place where it will. I think in some ways do a disservice to true love, because true agape, I think, has only been demonstrated a few times in the Word as powerful as we need to see it. And that's why it says God demonstrated his love to us. Then while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So that type of agape it goes beyond, again, our own humanity. It goes beyond our own abilities. And so let's go ahead and look at this word and how it's been used and see if we can see that God is love. Romans 5:8. Go ahead, hon.
But God clearly shows and proves his own love for us by the fact that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
And then the Complete Jewish Bible says,
but God demonstrates his own love for us in that the Messiah died on our behalf while we were still sinners.
So here we have this word prove and demonstrate. And what Paul is trying to communicate here is that God, through Christ, showed what love was. That love is a choice that goes beyond anyone deserving it. Anyone earning it? Has anyone earned the love of God in our group? I would say all of us would say no. And do we deserve the love of God? No. But it's something that he freely bestowed upon all of us. Before and after we were saved, we were loved. Love is something that God can't stop doing because he is love. And so it would be like us stopping breathing. Well, we wouldn't exist. So God, our heart beating, we wouldn't exist, right? We would be, we'd no longer be human. We would be, in the arms of the Father. And that's what God not being love would be like. He wouldn't exist because he is love. He is the personification of love. And so it's not just some people say, oh yeah, God is love. And so God has love. But no, you have to look at it deeper. If say, no, God is existing as love. He continually exists as love. So if you say that there's love and agape, true love, then you're saying that there is God. So as you see one, you see the other. If you see God, you see love. If you see love, you see God from the standpoint of God's love, not earthly love. You have anything to share? Okay, let's keep going. I think I'll demonstrate this at the very end, and you'll see I've taken some liberties with the scripture, and forgive me. I don't think it's like the thing where Paul says anyone adding or deleting. I just have taken some liberties because of the thought process. Go ahead, Ephesians 2, 4 through 5.
But God is so rich in mercy and loves us with such intense love that even when we were dead because of our acts of disobedience, he brought us to life along with the Messiah. It is by grace that you have been delivered.
I love this. God is rich in mercy and loves us. And so mercy and love go together. And I love this intense love. Love that you know, when they were spitting in Jesus' face and when they're pulling his beard and when they were piercing his skull with that crown of thorns, his eyes were looking at those individuals with love, to the place where they must have felt like almost shame. And even though they were, you know, from their nature that way, and that's the way they were used to treating prisoners, I know for a fact that his response was saying something different than, why are you doing this to me? It's like he knew why they were doing it to him, and he responded, I believe, through his eyes with love. Now, I guess that's a stretch, but I believe that Jesus was the personification of God's love manifested to the earth. And so even in those times that he should have been ready to revile someone, no, he saw them with love, and he did not count those wrongs suffered, to the place where the very last of his breath, what did he say? Father, don't hold these sins against them. Don't count this against them. Even though they were saying, yeah, we'll take this upon us, and our children's can be also put with this burden of what we've done to you. Go ahead. Okay. 1 John 4:7-8.
Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love.
God is love. So, beloved, loved ones of God, loved ones from me, John is saying, let us love one another. For love is from God, or that Greek word is, love is from the very midst of God. It's what it's saying. And whoever loves has been born from the midst of God and knows God intimately. And anyone who does not love God does not know God. So anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. God is love. God is agape. So that's a clear statement there, that you can't have love without having God.
Right.
And you can't have God without having love. And so if we have God, we have love. So what is it that is the block? It's our humanity. It's our fallen nature. It's the self and the ego that keeps that love from operating. Let's get another verse here. 1 John 4:15-19.
Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him.
So here John's saying it another way. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, in other words, whoever believes on him, that he is their Savior and that he's their Lord, that we abide in God and God abides in him. There's this mutual occupation. There's this mutual habitation, that it's not just God living in us, but we live in God. And so a great mystery starts to unfold in this. So we have come to know and to believe that the love that God has for us. So because we know that he lives in us, we come to believe and know that love for us.
Right.
And the more that we know that he loves us, the more that we love. You can't have the love of God without having God. And if you have God, you have God's love. I don't know how much clear and stronger it could be said, because God is love. So if we look in whoever abides in this love, this agape abides in God and God abides in them. So I think we've proven with this that God is love. That God is love. He is, if you have love, you have God. And if you have God, you have love. And so the idea of love being patient and love being kind, God is patient and God is kind. And so for this time together, I have taken some liberties and taken 1 Corinthians 13 and replace the word with love with God. And it kind of gives us, I think, a deeper meaning into what Paul is trying to say here. Or at least what I'm trying to say here today. Maybe not Paul. Shouldn't speak for Paul, because again. So if we look here, we have God is patient and God is kind. God is not jealous, God does not brag, and God is not proud. God is not rude, God is not selfish, and God cannot be made angry easily. God does not remember wrongs done against him. God is never happy when others do wrong, but God is always happy with the truth. God never gives up on people. God never stops trusting. God never loses hope, and God never quits. God will never end. So what we have here is the idea that love and God are interchangeable. And that is you know, maybe a stretch for some, but I think the Bible's pretty clear that God is love. And so if we now say, and I didn't actually do this, but as I was reading this, if we now say that God is love and who God is, we are. Hey, Bob, who God is, we are. Then we can say something else. And so let's go back to this, and I'm going to change this. And the reason being is because I want us to think about this truth. Here we go. Oops, sorry. Oh, went to the end. Hang on. Technical difficulty. I need to go here. Hold on a moment. Nope. Acceptable screen. Hold on. Can't minimize. Okay, gotcha. The way that works, evidently, is once you go past it, it doesn't like going back. So here we go. Does anyone have anything to share? Go ahead and share now. Speak now, forever hold your peace. Heard that before. Okay, no one? All right. Hang on a second here. Oh, sorry. Yeah. Okay, let me get back to this. Okay. And tap. There we go. Sorry. Share the screen again. All right, so here we have God is patient. So let's do something maybe again, difficult for you to think about, but let's replace the word God with I am, because God dwells in us. And so we could easily say, I am patient and I am kind. I am not jealous. I do not brag and I am not proud. See?
Can we start though with saying, am I patient?
Well, you could start that way.
Because I think that questioning our own hearts can say, wait a minute, maybe I'm not patient with this particular area in my life or that particular area.
And that's true in your humanity or not. In my humanity. What I'm trying to get us to realize is that we don't have to operate in our humanity.
True.
Because all of us can easily say, no, I don't exhibit patience. I mean, just get me out on an open road with cars in front of me that don't know how to put their foot on an accelerator. And I could say, I'm not patient. But what I'm trying to get us to realize is that God does the impossible, and he can do the impossible every day with us if we can come to the realization that we don't have to function as just humans. We can function as the spiritual sons and daughters that we are. So then we could say, I am patient.
Right.
I am kind. It's kind of like Paul saying, whatsoever you're going to focus on, you know, you focus on the flesh, you're going to get results of the flesh.
Right.
Focus on the things of the spirit, you get the results of the spirit. So the results of the spirit here is that I am patient. The results of the spirit is I am kind.
It's really easy for me, though, as a human being, to say, oh, gay is patient, gay is kind, gay is not jealous. But I'm going to just skip over that I don't remember wrongs done against me, because I'm not very good at that. I'm just saying that with each one of those, I believe we need to recognize that we can remember no wrongs done against me. In God, I can.
Right. So maybe what we have to say, Mike is patient with the help of God.
Yeah.
Mike is patient.
There you go, babe.
Not even with the help of God. Mike is patient because God lives in him
Mike.
With God's patience. You know, what I'm trying to get us to understand is that we have everything that we need. For so long, we have lived Christianity with an idea that we lack, that we need more, that we have to receive something again outside of ourselves, but it's already there. But what are we focusing on? Are we focusing on the fact that when we do get on the freeway, people will irritate us? Or when we have somebody come up, do I say, no, hang on, that's not who I am. I am patient. I am not proud. I'm not rude. You know, in other words, we remember that God in us gives us the power to be something that
right.
we're not.
Exactly. Amen. I agree with that.
100%. In Mike Lindell, there's no good thing, just as Paul said. You know, in my own humanity, nothing good resides but God. Okay, does anybody else have any to add? Challenge me if you need to. Somebody say something. This is not like Sunday morning. Usually you guys are piping up. Come on, don't be afraid.
Anybody? Come on. Anybody?
I agree.
Jesse, so well said.
Hey, Mike, there is no good thing. Neither is good thing in me.
I'm just going to say, like in the South, amen, brother. Roll with it.
Yeah.
Herman, did you have something to say? You need to unmute yourself.
I thought I was unmuted. Can you?
Yes, can you Cameron, go ahead.
Okay. No, I was just going to say that I think that if you're saved, right, the Holy Spirit dwells within you, and all those things, all the fruits of the Spirit, I guess, or all those things that come from him, I feel like you need to acknowledge, I have to acknowledge constantly that I need him to do those things for me.
Yes.
Because like you guys were saying, in myself, those things are not part of my nature.
Right.
So they're part of his nature. And so I have to, ever the gentleman he is, you have to ask him for his help. He's not just going to say, okay, because I live in you, you're going to be patient all the time. I feel like in each situation that you have to say, Lord, I need your patience in this moment, and that he'll give those things to you when
right.
you request them. But it's not just something that is all the time,
and that's
but we have access to them all the time.
Right. That's part of the process of renewing our mind,
right.
of coming
yeah.
to a higher way of thinking instead of our natural mind. Go ahead, Myla.
I think too, like she just said, you know, God wants us to ask. Like, you know, he's a giver. But he wants us to acknowledge that we can't do it by ourselves. And that's the first step. That's just the first step. I can't do it, but I know with your help I can.
Amen.
And once we say that, I mean, that's how you form the intimacy, you know? And you can't form the intimacy by saying, me, 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 all the time. I can do it by my own will. I can do it by my own strength. I can do it by this, that. No, Lord, I can't. take it from me. You know, he wants to hear us cry out, Abba, yeah. Father, yes. Daddy.
Yeah.
You know, I can't. Help me. That's my strength. You know, so that's just all I wanted to say. I agree.
Herman, what did you have something?
Yeah, so this week when we were doing our family Bible study here at home, we were talking about there are steps of righteousness, and I was bringing up love, how it should be the principal step in our lives. And when I opened up my Bible, incredibly or not, it opened up to Deuteronomy 6. I didn't even plan on that. It just opened up, and it says how we need to love our God with all our strength and all our soul. You know, so it's not about just us loving. He gave us a gift to love, but we got to love him.
Right.
You know, he is our first love. We should be his first love, and then everything else can follow in a more easier way, to not be angered so easily or hate as much, I guess, or at all, which is all a little hard, but I just wanted to share that where I've told you before, this is confirmation church to me. We talk about something during the week, and then Sunday you touch on it. You know, that Waymaker song has been my song all week long, and I even shared it on my Facebook page, and here we are worshiping to that song. That's just great. It just confirms that God loves us. And
yes. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And that he doesn't just love us, but again, he's for us, and he has, you know, it's somewhat a cliche people say, but he really does have an amazing plan for our lives, but not just our lives here, but our eternal lives, our entire existence. He has an amazing plan.
Right.
And that's why sometimes some people seem to be short-circuited on his plan for their lives, because they just look at the natural life and they say, well, they lost their life too young, or, you know, you've heard the saying, only the good die young, you know, someone evil should have been taken. But if we limit our perspective to just, again, this human existence, and if we limit even who we are in Christ in this now, based upon our human existence, we will sell God short, and in the long run, sell ourselves short.
Because we end up limiting him.
Because we end up limiting him. If we come from the mindset that we are lacking love, or we come from the mindset that we are, for whatever reason, stuck in this humanity, you know, circle, and, you know, without, you know, obviously it's, everything is God. If we come to the knowledge and the understanding that we have his love, it's only through God's grace right. that we come to that knowledge.
Right.
But here I'm trying to challenge us to rise above our standard thinking, because I think all of us can say, oh yes, we want God. We need more of God. We need him to have his Holy Spirit work more in our lives. But Holy Spirit is working in our lives. See, that's the thing. God looks at us as a finished work. I think if we can start looking at ourselves more of a finished work, not in some kind of prideful way, but in some kind of appropriation way. In other words, what Christ has done in me is a finished work. Lord, let me start functioning and living out of that finished work that I am, not in the limitations of my humanity. Amen.
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 Tim made a comment here. He says, I've learned that when, and it goes along with Cameron and Myra.
Yeah, Myla.
Myla. Sorry, I'm learning. I don't hear well.
Don't worry.
It says, I've learned that when I find myself thinking about stresses in my life, when realizing where my thoughts are, then turning my attention to God and begin telling him of my stresses I was previously thinking of, the stress leaves and the effects that stress was doing to my body leaves and is replaced with God's love. His Amen. Agape love has healing power.
Oh, amen. Yeah. Junior, that was good. Amen. I agree. So we...
That was Tim, not Junior.
What?
That was Tim's call.
Oh, Tim.
Yeah, that was me.
I can't hear that well, evidently.
No worries.
I'm saying Junior was able to do that while he's working. Tim, that was excellent. Sorry. Anyway, the 100 things
God loves about you.
Oh, that's awesome.
I love that.
Never heard that before. That's awesome. 87.
87 and 30. Oh, that is so cool.
You'll have to share maybe on with the group that author and stuff so that we can take a look at that. That's amazing. So I'm going to go ahead and just finish with a couple more things, and then we can see if the Lord has anything else for us. So this love is God.
Yeah.
And this God is love. Our God is love. The one who lives in us is love. And so because of the nature of what we're doing, I just want to let everyone know that they can give online at cotm.net or onelifefamilyworship.org.
This has got to have an S in it.
Oh, yeah. Word hip. Word hip.
Worship.
Worship, yeah. I think they would probably figure that out. Yeah. Or you can give by mail at that address. And this is because we're in Richland right now, the Tri-Cities, so I'm able to do the deposits and stuff from the church. There's a banner bank down here, so I can take care of that way. And if any of you need any more information on that or need me to text you that information, if it's not up there long enough, just give me a text. And so just want to let all of you know that we love you guys and that we're believing that the Lord's going to keep you and keep you healthy and safe, and that his light's going to shine upon you, that the countenance of his face is going to look towards you, and that as the Hebrew scripture says that even that he will kneel before you to bless you.
Yeah.
And that's the nature of our God, that he is more for us than he is himself. And that again is an attribute of love, that he puts all of mankind before his own needs. And so be encouraged today, live in his love today, and continue to be instruments of his love, especially during this time. I know we're somewhat sheltered. Moses, do you even get out now, or are you still working during the week? You can say yes or nay, nay or yay. Gina's going to unmute you.
I'm still working.
You're still working? You're not quarantined, huh?
No, I'm essential.
You're essential. We would say
essential.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Zeke.
Something came to me on the love part. Something did come to me. And
okay.
You know, and it was when we were talking about love, you know, and I right away thought of the scripture when the Lord says, "Thou shalt love thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all your mind, for that is the great commandment. And the second is unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor thyself." And we have to remember that these two commandments, by obeying these two great commandments, we fulfill the Ten Commandments.
Right.
No hatred towards neighbor, you know. So when we're fully in love with God, we don't have to worry about obeying the Ten. It's obeying the Ten Commandments. It's bringing them to life, you know, in the love in your life, where it's you're not conscious about breaking the law, because you got love in your heart. You're loving the God, your God. You know, you're fulfilling the Ten Commandments with these two. That's what Jesus was saying, just with these two scriptures. With these two, you're fulfilling the Ten Commandments. There is no envy. There is no self. You're not going to lie to your neighbor. You know, there is no murder in your heart. You know, all the Ten Commandments that are fulfilled in these two. That's what came to me in these with the love, you know, and loving God and realizing how much God loves us.
Yeah. Know? Right. Amen. And like you said, all of the commandments are fulfilled in those two.
Yeah.
All of his commands.
You know, and we can't even love him back the way he loves us.
No.
We don't have that capability.
We can try, but we will never make it, which is good because it gives us something to strive for.
And, you know, and that's what we take his heart, you know, and that's why he dwells in us, you know. One, and God is good. God is always there to forewarn us. I was reading in Genesis when
when Cain was about to kill Abel, you know, it talks about God coming to him before he even did that. He goes, evil is at your doorstep. What do you think?
Evil
is at your doorstep. You know, God loved him so much, and he was forewarning him. Why are you letting this get to you? Why are you letting that evil into your heart? But Cain, as you read, chose not to obey, you know, and killed his brother. But, you know, God is good. That's how God's love works, you know. Mm-hmm. He forewarns us of stuff. He keeps us from all evil. But we still have that choice.
Amen.
It's a choice, isn't it?
A choice.
Yeah.
So I do want to remind everybody that Phyllis is out there. She's not connecting on this. It's a little bit too much for her. We did speak with her yesterday. She sends her love. It blesses her heart when she hears from one of us. Roger, she mentioned that you called her and checked on her this week. So if you guys remember Phyllis and Ken throughout the week, if you don't have their phone number, just text me. I will get it to you. But if you can, give them a call just to say, we love you, you know, hope everything's okay. Is there anything we can do? Which they'll tell you no. But they love to hear from us. And they love hearing our voices, even if it's just for a minute. So if you do get time and you can, they're not techie people, so they don't get text messages. They're not doing this. So they just want to hear our voices.
And on a landline.
It blesses them so much when one of us gets a hold of them. So if you think about them through the week, pray for them, and then just give them a quick call and just say, I was thinking about you, love you. Is there anything you need? And we miss you, you know.
Yeah.
Vicki, did you have something?
No, I was just saying I found that book on Kindle for $2.99.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wonderful.
Okay, yeah, if you could, $2.99, that's pretty cheap on Kindle. That's awesome.
Yeah, and you can also, really, if you do Kindle Unlimited, use Kindle Unlimited.
What'd you say, Myla?
It's really short. It's just, it's numbered, and it's just a little tiny paragraph for each reason that God loves you, and every page is a different number.
That's awesome.
So it's really nice when you're just feeling low or, you know, need a pick-me-up. You just, you know, you can just read something that God loves about you, which is kind of a nice way to flip the script sometimes.
Who's the author?
I mean, we know God loves us, but
Sarah Knox.
A reminder of why.
Amen. That's good. I think
it's really short.
People are starting to look it up right now, so you made some sales for the author.
I don't know who the author is. It was a gift from a pastor's wife.
Oh, just a second. Vicki, who's the author?
Sarah Knox.
Sarah Knox, okay.
Is that who it is?
It doesn't say on the cover. Hold on.
In Kindle, it said Sarah Knox, and it had, I think.
Anna Fortner.
Who?
P-A-M-A Fortner. F-O-R-T-N-E-R.
Then I may have gotten the wrong one, but it had that same front.
Huh.
It could have multiple authors. Like I said, it's just a short paragraph for every number.
This one, I don't know if you can see it, and it says Sam.
Yeah,
100 Things God Loves About You, 100 Reminders of God's Love for You by Sandra Knox.
Perfect.
Yeah, it's real nice. It's a quick read. Good pick me up.
Yeah, I'm gonna mute everyone here so we can.
Except for Junior.
Well,
make sure you mute him back.
I think he's muted. So, yeah.
Ready?
Set. No, don't you dare.
Nope. Yes.
Nope. Pastor.
Yes.
Can we sing happy birthday to you?
Should we? Can we?
Yes. Happy birthday.
Yes, you can.
Hi, happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you.
Thank you so much.
60, right?
60.
Yay! You don't look 16.
Yay!
Yep, 6-0.
Hi, Mila. This is Mila, and this is Mila.
Oh, look, there's Kezzy.
Hello, Mila.
Right? She's with David Martinez. She's in front. That's Mila.
Oh.
No! Cameron has Kezzy.
And say that again.
I was saying that Kezzy is awake.
Kezzy. Hi, Kezzy. So can you tell Josh that we missed him? Josh.
Joseph.
Him.
I will.
So where it says David Martinez.
Oh, there it is. Okay. Yeah. You just gotta roll over.
And Tanya, this is Mila and Matthew. In the where it says iPad 7.
iPad 7.
Not when I had it held.
Hi, Matt.
Hi.
Mama, look, it's me, Mom.
Well, you guys, we love you so much. We're so thankful that we all were able to join today.
It's not the same thing as hugging you, but again, virtual hugs.
Virtual hugs.
Hey.
And we love you.
I just want to hold that baby.
Same.
She's so adorable.
Bless you, Mom. Thanks for joining us.
Say hi.
I just got in on the last of it.
No worries.
Oh. About
15 minutes or so.
That's okay. You made it.
Oh, man. God met with us up there at Planned Parenthood. I'll tell you. It was good.
It was powerful.
Yep. We're a warring team up there.
Villalobos family, good to see you.
Yes, good to see you.
Guys.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Famous thanking us.
We love you, Papa
and Nani. Hi. Love you guys.
Andy's bye,
everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Have a blessed week.
We'll keep it going.
Are you guys doing this next week again?
What's that?
Are you doing this next week also?
Yes. Next week, yep. And then, Cameron, we're going to try to figure out a way, even when we get back, to incorporate this in a service.
Yay.
Yeah.
So you guys can attend.
Jesse and I will work on it. And, well, it'll probably be that you guys will watch the worship service for a bit. When we teach, you guys can participate.
Okay.
We'll see if we can throw you up on the screen every now and then. And so it'll be a little bit different, but, hey, you know what? We're different anyway, right? So,
yeah, it's awesome.
It's not just people.
We're supposed to be different.
What's that?
We're supposed to be different.
We're supposed to be different. Amen.
Oh, yeah.
Have a good day, everybody.
Alien.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye, Junior.
Love you.
Love you, guys.
Bye. We love you.
Bye. Love you, guys. Mwah.
Shalom.
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 Shalom. Hey, Bob.
Yeah.
I took notes with our scriptures and stuff if you want me to email them to you or text them to you.
You can text them to me, yeah. Thank you.
Okay, let me get it. I'll synchronize with my phone and I'll text them to you.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Kizzy.
You're welcome. Bye, everybody. Happy birthday, Pastor.
We love you,
Roger. Bye, Vicky.
Bye-bye.
Good week.
Bye, Kizzy. Me mom loves you.
Bye. Love you, Cindy.
Bye, Roger and Cindy.
Bye. Have a good week.
Oh, she's making the noise.
You
Daddy
too.
Be blessed, everybody.
Stay safe and healthy.
See you guys.
Love you guys.
Love you too.
Yeah, Tim says, thank you for the wonderful message. Thank you all for being here. I love you all.
Oh.
Tell Tim we love him.
Yeah, Tim, we love him.
I will.
That hooked. All right. Bless you guys.
Bless you.
Bye, Bob. Love ya.
Love you too.